is. Aren't you glad you're serving a risen Savior today? You know what? He's real when we don't feel Him. He's still real, isn't He? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Oh, praise the Lord. Well, Brother David just blessed our heart from the word of the Lord, didn't he? So good to be back in the house of God. Glad you're here. Why don't you just turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord, and tell him you're glad to see him in church on Sunday morning. What a privilege. Sing me a verse there, brother. Sing some more of it, guys.
There are some things I may not know.
You can be seated this morning while we look at our prayer requests. We've got a lot we want to let you know about. Before we read our prayer requests, let me give you a couple of testimonies this morning. Brother Melvin Lynch sends this in. Says, the last several weeks I have been suffering with an infected ulcer in my stomach. I have had 3 or 4 days at a time that I couldn't even eat. I've lost 14 pounds. But Brother Donnie and the saints of God prayed for me on Wednesday night. I went to bed in pain, but on Thursday morning I got up and I have been completely fine. Praise be to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He cares about us, don't he? Sister Ann Nestor offers this testimony. As many of you know, she was on her way to church a couple of weeks ago, maybe. And her car hydroplaned on Interstate 81. She lost control of the car. She was going down Interstate 81 backwards. Just a lot of traffic, guardrails everywhere. But God miraculously brought her through that accident. She went to the doctor later on. The nurse practitioner told her, said, you're fine. There's not even any need to x-ray you. She wants to give the Lord God praise for protecting her. Amen. So we thank the Lord for those testimonies this morning. God is a God of variety. He's a God of mercy. He's a God that cares about His children. Aren't you glad you're serving a God like that? Yes, praise the Lord. Our prayer request, Brother Marcus Turner is sick this morning. I told him we'd request prayer for him at the church, that the Lord would just be mindful of him. Sister Nadine Finch says, I have a very special unspoken prayer request that I would like for everyone to pray about. May God bless you. We'll keep that need as unto the Lord this morning. Brother Carter Lawson says to keep Sister Gladys Smith in your prayers. She's starting chemo, so we want to remember that. Sister Victoria Thomas wanted to thank the church for their prayers. And let's see, and to let all of you know that she's doing really good in her rehab. Please keep praying for her as she continues to go for her rehab. Also, please pray for her husband, Marvin Thomas. he's having health issues and having a problem. It's a big responsibility to him taking care of the children while she's been in the hospital. So just remember that family as we pray today that the Lord would be mindful of them. Brother West says a good friend and neighbor passed away, leaving a young widow. She has a lot of decisions to make in the future, so we want to remember that prayer request today as we pray. Continue to pray for Brother Joel Moyer and family and their legal situation concerning their children. God, just take that under control. Please have prayer for Sister Christine Baker, whose heart rate is very low, and she is having complications, so let's remember that. Brother Jose Manley says, I would like to request prayer for my mother. She's going through a difficult time. She is having to do radiation treatment for a cancer they found near her stomach. May God bless you. So we certainly want to pray for his mother as we pray today. Sister Ann Nestor says to please pray for Hassel and Shirley Nestor for their physical and spiritual needs. So we'll just commit that to the Lord. Heather Potter says a gentleman had asked to keep his wife in prayer. Her name is Ernestine. She's fighting stomach cancer. The doctors are not expecting her to pull through unless she receives a miracle from the Lord. So we want to remember that need today as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, I know there's many needs in this assembly today. How many of you believe we're serving a prayer answering God today? You believe that with all your heart? Brother Wade Altman, would you come this morning as we stand, take us to the Lord on behalf of all these needs. Certainly appreciate Brother Wade and Sister Anna Alden, don't we? Amen. We love you, buddy. Appreciate you, honey. God bless you, buddy.
Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord Jesus. We just thank you and praise you for another opportunity to be in your house, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the word that went forth last night, Lord Jesus. How much it was comforted our heart, Lord Jesus, to see, Lord Jesus, the dry bones arise, Lord Jesus, and sit down, Father. As I told Brother David, Lord God, before service, I was reading in Ezekiel 37, that same chapter, Lord God, as he come out, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're so real, Lord Jesus. You just speak to our hearts, Father. You just show yourself to us. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord God. And we thank you for the testimonies that went forth, Lord Jesus. These prayer requests that I'm handing in my hand here, Lord God, I know that they can come back as a testimony for you, Father God. You can answer them according to your will and purpose in their lives, Lord Jesus. We thank you for each and every one of our brothers and sisters of like precious faith. We thank you for the musicians. We thank you for our pastor, Lord God. We pray for every minister around the world, Lord God, the true fivefold ministry. Keep your hand upon them, Lord God, as we see the days are evil, Lord God, and they try to bring this strong man of the house down. But Father, we know that you're more than able, Lord God, to raise your standard. You raise your word in this hour. And Lord God, we thank you and praise you, Father God. We're standing upon every promise, Lord Jesus. We love and appreciate you. We ask you bless the remaining parts of this service. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us in the service today, and we do have a lot of visitors, we're so glad to have you. Trust you'll enjoy the service. All of our streamers, wherever you're at today, we want to say welcome. God bless you. Give our streamers a nice hand this morning, if you would. Praise the Lord. Brother Chuck Dixon, Brother Joel Yance, if you'll come on the platform, sing that song. We'll help y'all this morning on that, Through the Fire. How would you like to hear them sing that and help them sing it this morning? They'll come on to the platform. We'll be getting ready for that. Brother West wants you to know there'll be a teen and young adult Bible study tomorrow night at the Pavilion from 6 until 8. Please remember that. Also, please remember to sign up in the library for the Happy Valley Youth Banquet. It is August the 17th, and there will be a very special speaker. Try to sign up by the 10th of August, so remember that if you're going to the banquet. We appreciate these guys, don't we? Give them a nice hand as they sing for us. I'm waiting for the old man of the group to get up here.
Brother Eric, Through the Fire.
Let's help them sing it this morning.
Well, so many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so high of hand. Well, it's then I am reminded of never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. And as I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me. And it's through the fire, my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy, and the hill would not be high to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again. I know within myself that I will surely. If I trust the hand of God, He'll seal the flames again, again. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy, and your heel would not be hot. Victories without fighting, but He said, help will always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in your valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Spirit says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through fire again. So just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the
I could listen to them sing that just about all day long, couldn't you? Hey, if it let us happen, we'll let them do it one time. Praise the Lord. We're going to sing a little chorus. His sister Lindsay, Brother Aaron, if you'll come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing. Also, Brother Andy's had several requests to do some kind of a song. These are the days of Elijah. You show up here one more time, we're going to adopt you, buddy. I'll just tell you that right now. One more time, you're in. Certainly appreciate our brother, don't we? God bless them. Give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you. You can be seated this morning.
There's a stirring in the throne room, and all creation holds its breath, waiting now to see the bridegroom, wondering how the bride will dress, and she wears white. And she knows she's undeserving. She bears the shame of history. But this worn and weary maiden is not the bride that he sees. And she wears white, head to toe, but only he can make it so. When someone dries your tears, when someone wins your heart and says you're beautiful, when you don't know you are, when all you long to see is written on his face, love has come and finally set you free on that wedding day. On that wedding day.
She has danced in golden castles, and she has crawled through beggar's dust. Today she stands before him, and she wears his righteousness, and she will be who he adores. This is what he made her for. When someone dries your tears, when someone says you're beautiful, when you don't know you are, when all you long to see is written on his face, when love has come and finally set you free, from the hand that bears the only scars in heaven touch her face, and the last tears she'll ever cry finally wiped away, and the clouds roll back as he takes her hand and walks her through the gates. Forever we will reign. When someone dries your tears, when someone wins your heart, says you're beautiful, when you don't know you are, when all you set you free on that wedding day, on that wedding day, on that wedding day, on that wedding day.
Praise the Lord. You know this song, so just worship with me. Amen.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Oh, behold, he comes, he's riding on a cloud, he's shining like the sun. Oh, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's our year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Think about it now. These are the days of Ezekiel, those dry bones becoming as flesh. Days of the harvest, the fields are as wine in your world, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, he's riding on a cloud. Oh, yes, he shines like the sun. Lord, at the trumpet call, the ending and the fulfillment of time. And these are the days when the bride and the bridegroom are becoming perfection in Christ. And though we as children have battled, the tears will be wiped from our eyes, and we shouting victory and praises when we rise from this earth to the skies. Behold, he comes, he's riding on a cloud. Oh, yes, he's shining like the sun. Oh, at the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's our year of jubilee, and out of Zion still salvation comes. Here's the best part. Hallelujah.
Street. Maybe you were out there living in sin, but there's no God like our Jehovah to deliver us this morning and bring us to perfection in Christ. And one day, our Jesus Christ is going to raise us from the earth, and that's why we sing.
Oh, there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
With all your heart.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, he's riding on a cloud. Oh, yes, he's shining like the sun. Lord, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's our year.
Hallelujah. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Them he's redeemed from the hand of their enemy. I believe we've been redeemed, don't you? Praise God. While you're standing with us, let's go back to the book of Ezekiel, if you would. Certainly appreciate all the singing, just wonderful worship. I want to say what an honor it's been to be able to be here again in the house of the Lord with you. Ezekiel chapter 37. Certainly appreciate all the nice comments and the texts and the phone calls last night at the service. Ezekiel chapter 37, we want to look at verse 1. We'll read down to verse 5, and then I want to drop down to verse 10. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered and said, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Now verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came up into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried. Watch, they say our bones are dried. And they say our hope is lost, and that we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I've opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And you shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. So life is coming back, positions coming back, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. God don't just speak it, but his word goes so long, and then God's got to perform that which he says. The Lord has spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our hearts this morning. Let's just approach him. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to be able to be called your sons and your daughters today. Lord, what an honor and a privilege is, Lord, to be able to carry your name, Lord, in this last wicked day. Father, we pray that today that you would just help us, Lord. May you just anoint us, Lord, just to move aside now. Lord, each one that has come, Lord, I ask that you would help them to do the same. Lord, that we could hear something from you. Lord, we need to hear your voice today more than we ever have. And Lord, what it would mean to us today just to hear a few words from you. I pray, Lord, anoint us with the gospel, anoint the church today. Lord, we pray that you'd move up on every heart. May every need be supplied in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. Certainly appreciate the opportunity to be here. I was reading an article the other day talking about things that had become extinct. And that's really where this thought has come from. And I'd taken that article and sent it to my email. And I was reading in this article, and it was quite profound, the things that was being written. We know because of the advancement of technology, the advancement of man and understanding, and even the growth of population upon the earth, we know that because of the growth of man, that it's actually drove an extinction to many of the animals that has dwelled upon the earth. And in this article, we can see, I was noticing how that they was looking at so many of these things that had been driven to this place of extinction, to where unless the advancement of technology would allow it, that they would go into extinction never to be able to come back. And we know that many of the animals on the face of the earth today, they are territorial animals. They require so much square miles as it would be. Many of the eagles, even in South Africa, as a man was telling me a few years back, on how that many of the eagles needed somewhere around 20 square miles of space, because that's the area that they dominate. And if two of them would be born in the same nest, then one of them being the dominant bird would drive the other one out, and it actually would kill the other bird if it tried to stay within its jurisdiction. It's because it requires so much area. And then because of the advancement of man, of course, moving and the cities being built, it's caused many of these things to come into this place of extinction. And the scientist has been digging into it, trying to find a way to be able to bring these things back from extinction. That's what I like to speak to you today on, back from extinction. They found out if they could take and find some of the bones from these animals, if the bones would be in a place where, because of the atmosphere that's around it, whether it be covered with dirt or whatever it might be, of course, the longer that it lays out in the sun, the worse that it gets. It starts eating away until the actual part that they would use becomes ate away. But if it becomes to a place where it would be cared for to the state to be put in such a condition that some of that life that was upon that body at one time that had sinew and flesh, they could take and they could draw some things from those bones to be able to bring them back from extinction. Now, what they found out is all they need is just a strand of DNA from those things that had one time been here, but now had become extinct. If they could scrape that bone to be able to bring just a strand, one strand of DNA, they feel like they can bring those things back from extinction one day. Now, the problem they have is they've got to have the right surrogate. Glory to God. They've got to have the right bedding ground in order to produce it. Now, it's got to be in similar image to what was once here that had now become extinct. It has got to be in similar image, glory, to be able to bring that which is just a strand of DNA back from extinction. Now, we understand to be able to have the right bedding ground, it's such an important, as they was looking at this animal, that they had found something that was so close to it that if they could take and be able to bring this by stem cell research. And we know that even scientists, they broke into the laboratory of God. They've actually gotten to a place in such an advanced state that they've taken the very building blocks of life and they're able to get into those things to be able to, and you know, even today, many of the sports stars, they take their body and they cryogenic freeze it, because hoping one day they can be brought back from the dead. Well, what is all this? Why is man wanting to live again? What is it that man would want to come back from extinction? A man that would live his life in the years that he'd been allotted. What is it that now they're calling forth to try to freeze these things to preserve the bones? To preserve the bones, oh glory, that maybe one day, if science would advance to the state, they could come back to life again. And Brigham tells us in the message of the countdown, what you see in the natural is only a type of what God is doing in the spiritual. And Brigham took it from the horse and the buggy all the way down to the astronaut age, on how that we've come to the astronaut age, and now it was the advancement from just the old horse, then to the Model T, up to the airplane in the Pentecostal age, and to finally we've come back to the rocket age. Isn't it amazing? We've come to the place where we can send men into another sphere. We can send men into an atmosphere that is not pulled down by the weight of the world. It's not pulled down by the weight of the dust of this world. But they can go to another atmosphere, oh glory, that they can actually live in, that there is people today that is living in that sphere. They've been caught up by atomic power to be caught up to live in that sphere, and they're living there today. What is it about man wanting to live again? What is it that man would be wanting to bring back from extinction? Oh, brother, don't you see God's word is still circling this earth? That there is a promise of a resurrection. There is a promise of new bodies that's going to come upon this earth. Amen. Notice they need the right bedding ground in order to produce this. Now, they found that long after breath has left that body, just because breath is gone doesn't mean that hope is gone. Just because the heart is not pumping blood and the lungs not exchanging oxygen, just because the hope of a man in his mind, it may be over, but now they are having a hope beyond the grave today. Hallelujah. Deep within the bones of that species or whatever it might be is a hidden life. Deep within them bones is the identity of whatever that person was, whatever makeup they was, whatever, how big they are, the hair color, the eye color, every bit of that lays in them bones. Hallelujah. Now, within those strands, it would have the genetic makeup of that individual to be able to tell you what kind of a person that was. And then here in the scripture, we see how that Ezekiel is seeing this valley full of dry bones, and he noticed that the bones were scattered across this valley. And we know that this bones represents a people that at one time God had used. It represents a church, as you would, that God had used, and they was used and seen how the power of God would be move upon them, and they could do supernatural things when God would move upon them. Oh, but not now. They've been reduced just to bones. Reduced just to a valley scattered full of bones. People that at one time that was used of God is nothing more than bones now. Oh, how God would fight for them and God would use them. And many times how the supernatural strength of God and the right season, the conqueror would come down and move in them. Oh my. And how from time to time when they would stand behind his word, anytime you stand behind the word, God stands behind you. Amen. And they was God's representation upon this earth. They identified God upon this earth. They, listen friends, they brought life to the word. Amen. Think about it. You remember that something that had happened to them now, and something has robbed this life, and now they've just been reduced just to bones. Something had robbed them of this move, this life that was in them. Oh, of course, Jerusalem being invaded by Babylon, and how that the Babylonians came in, they destroyed the city, and they tore down the walls, and they demolished the temple, and they took the silver, they took the gold, and now it's just reduced just to rubble, brought down just to ashes. Most of Israel had perished, leaving a few survivors. Oh, a city at one time. A city, these bones was a city at one time. Amen, that had life in it. A city that had hope in it. A city that had singing and joy. And Jehovah's name was brought up in this place. But not now. He sees a valley full of bones. The Bible doesn't say it's a valley of dry bones. But it says it's the valley of dry bones. And that's exactly been Satan's desire ever since the beginning. He wants to bring man to the valley. I said he wants to be able to reduce man down to the valley. Whenever he had come into the garden that day, he came in there to tear down the temple. I said he came in to tear down the temple. He came to destroy the city. He came to take life away from the people. Why? He's come to destroy. He's a thief, and he cometh but to kill and to destroy. He come to invade this homeland. He come to invade them, to be able to drive them from this place. Oh my, think of it. He come to drive them from their position. He come to drive them from their place. He come to drive them from the order that God had set them in. And may I say, his deception worked on the woman, but it did not work on Adam. I said it worked on the woman, which is what Adam would use to reproduce, but it did not work on Adam. For Adam Adam was not deceived. Come on, somebody. Adam ate from the tree willingly. He took from the tree which is in the midst of the garden. He took of it willingly. For Adam knowed, if I don't partake of this tree, I know what's going to happen to her. Come on. I know what's going to happen to her. Judgment's going to set in. He knew judgment would follow because he knew God was going to keep his word. Oh, Adam seen her. He knew that she was headed for judgment. But Adam knowed, if I put my seed inside of her, that God won't kill her without killing me. Hallelujah. Oh, think of it. Because she was a part of Adam, God couldn't kill her. Satan's desire to drive them to annihilation. It was Satan's desire to drive them to this place of extinction. Oh my, what an ambition. What a desire. What a plan. He wanted to stop this sonship. He wanted to stop this fellowship. He wanted to stop this godship that they had. Amen. Oh, when it looked like it would come to an end. It looked like everything would be completely done away with. And there'd be absolutely no hope. And they all, no doubt, Satan would look over those bones. And he'd say, there's no hope left within them. I've robbed every ounce of hope that they got. I've taken their victory away. I've taken their home away. I've destroyed everything about it. And it would look completely hopeless. And then God spoke. I said, then God spoke. When God speaks, you got to hear what God says. That's what Satan said about them. But that ain't what God said about them. I can see God stop them. And God spoke and breathed over them bones. Hallelujah. God spoke over them bones and he says, wait a minute. I will put enmity. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Genesis 3:15. And between thy seed and her seed. And a woman don't even have a seed. She has an egg. So where did she get this seed at? Come on, church. Where did she get this promise at? Where did she get this word at? Between thy seed and her seed. Where did the seed come from? And he said, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's his word. That's his covenant. That's his oaths. When it looked like there was no hope, God breathed breaths. His word is prophesying over the devil and letting you know, you may bring them to this place of extinction, but I'm going to bring them out. You may take them out, but I'm bringing them back in. Back to their godship, back to their sonship, back to their position. Hallelujah. For Aaron says it like this, spoken word is the seed. You see what I mean? It's the germ that comes from the seed. He's the word, and God made perfectly manifest, talking about Christ. That's the reason that in him, watch, the thing that was, he is correctly the son from the first Adam. He's correctly the son from the first Adam. He was the son that was promised through Adam to continue on the human race. Oh, what kind of a race is that going to be? And Eve hybrided to the serpent and brought forth a generation of bastard children born to death without life. Born in a valley. Born dry bones. Born with no life. Amen. And Jesus come. And he was that seed. He proved it. Everything that Adam lost, Jesus was. I'll put imagery between thy seed and her seed. Everything that Adam lost, Jesus was. And Jesus come as that seed. He proved it. See, he is the correct Eve. Eve would have finally brought forth that child. But she hybrided. She brought the serpent in, listening to wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Watch Moran's next statement. Now wait till I get into the bride with that. He's talking about how that Christ, think about it, that Christ would have brought forth a race. Christ would have come, the very seed, the original seed. Life would have come. Wait till I get into the bride. Why? She's going to produce everything that Jesus was. Adam was everything. Think about it. Jesus was everything Adam was, and she'll be everything that he is. That's the reason I believe what I believe. How about you? Listen to this. It's got to come back to this word. Breathe, O breath of God. I said, breathe upon these bones. It's got to, because it's got to come back to the word. So Eve should have brought forth. But notice, it should have been brought forth by Adam speaking the word. Amen. But notice, it should have been spiritual multiplication by the word, the seed, the life. But she intermingled it and brought forth death. Amen. And may I say that Adam could not reproduce without the woman. Come on, somebody. She was part of him. As a matter of fact, she was bone of his bone. And she was life of his life. Adam needed her. And Christ needs you. He needs her to replenish. He needs her to fulfill the word. Hallelujah. He needs her to bring forth by the word. Satan, of course, he disrupts the program of God. But Abraham tells us, and I see how the earth was shook. She brings death. So she brought forth a seed, but it was a death seed. Amen. Why do you think that Cain was anointed to kill Abel? Why do you think he murdered him? Because it was the nature of his seed. Amen. And Abraham tells us, he wasn't just trying to kill Abel. He was trying to kill that seed. He was trying to reduce it to the valley of dry bones. He thought, if I can take the breath out of it, if I can take the life out of it, I'll bring it to annihilation. I'll bring it to extinction. Hebrews chapter 1, Brother Ram says, oh, the devil know that from the Garden of Eden. He know that. You see, when the devil heard that word there that day and the judgment of those people, because you come from the dust. 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 You'll return. And the woman's seed shall bruise the serpent's head. A promised seed. And Brother Ram, what's this statement? Incredible. Satan constantly watched for that seed. He was watching for that seed of the resurrection. He's watching for the son of prosperity. He's watching for the seed of life. He's looking for that spoken word. He's looking. Think about it. He kept constantly, constantly watched for that seed. And when Abel was born, he said, there you are. That's the seed. And he killed Abel. His son Cain. His son Cain killed Abel. And as soon as Abel died, he said, I got the seed. And he slew it. He said, I got it. I got it. Hopeless. It's hopeless. It's dark. It's weary. It's hopeless. I got it. But Abel's death, Seth's birth, was the resurrection again. Think about it. Right under the nose of the devil, God fulfilled the very mystery of the resurrection, and the devil never even caught it. One went down, and here come up Seth. Seth is the son of the resurrection. And he never even caught what was going on. He just showed the mystery of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he never even caught it. I can imagine as Cain was watching Abel die.
Listen, friends, the body's designed to live. And because it's designed to live, it fights to live. However, he would have killed him if he bashed his head in or done whatever he did. Can you imagine? There was Abel that was gasping, blood gushing out of his body. You know why? He's dying. And his body's trying to compensate to make up for the blood loss and the loss of the air. And it's trying to live. Abel tried to live. As some last breath is it's trying to hold on. It's trying to hold on. But when that last agonal respiration, Satan said, I got him. I got him. I mean, I got him finally. Oh, little did the devil know. There was a woman with seed. I'm preaching to you. I said, little did the devil know that that was going to produce a woman with a seed. I said the death of Abel is the resurrection of the church. It's the resurrection of the bride because there's a woman with seed. Hallelujah. The son of the resurrection was produced. Think about this. Think about this. This hit me last week. The new birth of Seth is a type of the resurrection. Because of the new birth, it brought a resurrection, which was a continuation of life. Look how God's unfolding this mystery of the resurrection right underneath the devil. So think about it. The Old Testament, a new birth brought a resurrection. But in the New Testament, it was the resurrection that produced the new birth. That new birth is a continuation of the same life that went. I'm not preaching replacement today. I'm preaching resurrection. The same seed that went down, the same life that went down is what came back from the dead in a resurrection. Not replacement. She's not replacement. The bride is resurrection life. It may look different. Its voice may sound different. It may have different accents. But it's the same life. The same quickening spirit. He kills Abel because he wants to bring the seed to extinction. He thought, if I can just get them in the grave. If I can just get them in the grave. I heard Brother Ram say today, before the resurrection, Satan had power of death. So he would use all the power he had. And when it come to death, he couldn't do no more. But I don't just serve a God of the living. I serve a God of the living and the dead. So when Satan gets him to the grave, that's as far as he can go. But because of the resurrection, come on somebody, because of the resurrection, we serve a king who has conquered death, hell, and the grave. But Satan ain't got no power over you. He thought, if I could just get them to this valley of dry bones, if I could drive them to this valley, I'll finally have had them. I can stop that righteous seed. I can stop that seed line. Oh, if Satan could only take them to death. And over through the scripture we could go. It would look like that seed at one time, it would be completely hopeless. It would look like it was going to plumb extinction, never to be seen again. Oh my, think about it. Think about how many women through the scripture that was barren, that had promises over them, but they was barren. And God would have to prove himself as a resurrector of life. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, every one of their wives was barren. And he's the one that was carrying the promise of a seed. Come on, church. He was the one carrying the promise of a seed and a seed seed. And for generations, you shall bring forth kings and nations shall come out of thee. And their wives are barren. It would look completely impossible. Oh, but that didn't stop God. Hey, man, think about it. That didn't stop God Oh, he done told Abraham, you're going to be a father. I've done said it. I've done broadcast it. I've already spoken it. I've already breathed over them bones. I've already spoke my word over that dust, and that dust will come to life. And Abraham, like every one of us, tried to do it on his own. Genesis 17:19, and God said, think of that. Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my word, my covenant, my oath with him for an everlasting covenant. And not only with him, but let me go ahead and tell you, it's not only going to be with Isaac, it's going to be with the seed after Isaac, all the way down to the birth of the spoken word. That promise will rest upon that dust. Sarah's womb was barren. It was lifeless. Come on, say it was impossible. Amen. It looked like there was no hope. Yet the word spoke over them bones. And no matter how much Abraham was trying to go around the covenant to produce this son, God ain't changing his mind. May I say, Abraham only had one son God recognized. God never even recognized that Ishmael. He said, I want you to take thy son, thine only son, Isaac. I don't care what you put before him. I don't care what you birth before him. I don't care what you produce before him. He only recognizes the word spoken over them bones. Ishmael don't even require faith. It don't require faith to have an Ishmael. Ishmael's not the promised son. The word was spoken directly to Sarah. Listen, and no matter what her condition is, no matter how dry her womb is, preach, somebody preach. For when God spoke his words over them dry bones, it don't matter how bleak it looks, it don't matter how dreadful it looks, the creative power behind that word will bring that word to life. He's the God of the resurrection. I want to give you hope today. That ought to encourage you today. I take that out of this building with me. If I may not produce it on my own, God spoke creative words over my life. It may get so far down the natural mind, can't even believe it because he can't see it. But if you could see it, you would need faith anyway. Just because the body is dead, can't stop life from coming. For it's written, Romans 4:17, let me hurry. As it's written, I made thee a father of many nations. I made thee. And before him who believed, even God, listen, who quickeneth the dead. He quickens the dead. He's a restorer of life. He quickens the dead from the graves. And he calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was. You ain't outrunning that. You ain't getting away from that. Go ahead, run as hard as you want to run. You ain't getting away from that. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David recognized that no matter how far down I get, how far out I get, how backslid I get, I can't outrun the promise of the word over my life. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. I like it. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, those dead bones. He didn't worry about his dead bones when he was about 100. Neither yet the deadness of the bones of Sarah. That's Tennessee interpretation, King James Version. Death ain't stopping it. Death is not stopping it. Because we serve a God who quickeneth. Which means to bring to life, to make alive, to restore to life. What can imagine when Elohim, amen, Elohim come down for the blending of the dimensions. He come down, three angels, amen. And he reached down, got a handful of dust. Proving who he is. Proving what he can do. He reached down and got dust. And Brother Ram said he blowed into that dust, and a body come to materialization. He reached down and got dust and made a body to walk in, a body to talk in, a body to deliver his promise in. Hallelujah! Why? He's a God of the resurrection. He can bring something out of nothing. Hallelujah! He can bring something out of completely nothing at all. Sarah was ordained by God to bring forth the promised son. And God knew it was going to happen only by resurrection power. You believe that? So God gives them a supernatural visitation. Three angels, two go to Sodom, and one visited Abraham underneath the oak tree. And through that dust, oh listen, through that dust that was created, amen, God would speak promises of resurrection power. He didn't come down here and say, now Sarah, what do you think about this? He's not asking her what her opinion is. He's not asking her, do you like this or do you not like it? Come on, church. He ain't asking you. He's telling you. He's telling you, this is my word. This is my promise. This is what I declare. He ain't asking you nothing as a church. He's telling you what you are. You are my queen. You are my bride. You will be without spot or wrinkle. Listen to this quote. God's covenant with Abraham. No matter what Sarah's condition was. It was not Sarah's condition he was looking at. It was the promise that God made. He was looking at it. Do you realize what would happen to your life if you would apply what the prophet just said right there? He's not looking at the condition of the body. He's not looking at circumstances and situations and things. He's looking at the promise of his word. God spoke that over you while you were sitting on a bar stool. He spoke that over to you while you were still hung up on drugs and alcohol. You know what? And God never changes his mind about his resurrection power. Isaiah says it like this, Isaiah 55, verse, the rain coming down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. When I breathe that, when I exhale that, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in a thing whereto I send it. I love the shalls. So shall my word that go forth out. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall. Not maybe, not might, not could be. It shall. He's the God of the resurrection. The oldest book in the Bible was a man who went through all kinds of conditions, troubles. But yet Job had the ability to catch the revelation of the resurrection life. But Ram said he looked around, he seen trees dying. He said he'd see the leaves fall off of those trees and then they'd come back in the spring. He'd see how that they would die and come back. Hallelujah. He'd see how that a flower, it would die and go into the ground. Oh, but a few turns of the sun, the life that was in that plant, which had been hidden down, as I would say, in them bones, hidden down in the roots of there, that was hid down under the ground, under the dust, when the sun began to pour on that seed life, it had no choice but to come forth from the dust. Hallelujah. Job says, I can see it. Though the skin worms will destroy this body. Amen. Yet in my flesh. What a powerful revelation. In my flesh. The same one that takes a tree down and comes back up. The same one that takes a fire. I'm not talking about replacement. I'm talking about resurrection. It's going to come back up. And Job knew that when that original life would brood and breathe over them bones, that the breath of God, something would have to happen when God breathes over it. Abraham says it like this in Restoration of the Bride Tree. Regardless of how little we are, or how low we are, how impure we are. Oh, come on, somebody. I'll start again. Regardless how little we are, how low we are, how impure we are, how unholy we are, how sick we are, how afflicted we are, the law of God's Spirit by His Word makes it obey Him. You hear that, body? He's going to make you obey Him. Hallelujah! By His Word, it makes it obey Him. It forces the issue. You got issues? I got the enforcer. You got problems? I got the enforcer. He forces the issue and He says, give it back. Amen. Oh, if we could just think of that for a minute. It forces it regardless of conditions. No matter what the condition is, the law of God's Word forces the condition to cope with His Word. The Ram said if a flower is laying there, and it's dead, the seeds are rotten and gone. The pulp has gone out, doesn't have one thing to do with it. It raises again. Because God set a law for it to rise again. And when Job laid in the ground, listen to this statement. When Job laid in the ground, perhaps when he seen Jesus coming, 4,000 years before Jesus got here, you can imagine how that human body looked. In 4,000 years, probably not enough ashes to go on the end of a spoon. But there was something left. Come on, church. There was something left. It may have just been a spoonful, but that's all God needs. He knows every strand of DNA. He knows how to bring that dust back from extinction. He knows how to speak to that dust and bring it back to life again. Not enough ashes left to go on the end of a spoon. But Job said, yet in my flesh I will see God who I shall see for myself. My eyes will behold Him. Because Job knows God's Word ain't failing. When it looked like Job would become extinct. I can imagine. He could see the eroding of the ashes as the wind would blow. It would blow and it would deteriorate until there wasn't hardly nothing left. Until finally it got down and Job was thinking, my, what's going to happen? What's happening? Until finally it got down to just a spoonful and Job was still watching them ashes. What are you watching today? When that original seed moved over them bones, no matter the condition of what they was, it made that dust cope with the Word. Quickening power has the ability to force bones back together. It has the ability to connect bone to his bone. Ezekiel sees this valley full of dry bones. They've come underneath this captivity. A dead church, no move of God, no life in it, no rejoicing, no singing, just a dead church. I've preached in that church before. Babylon had torn down their worship. Babylon had torn down their temple. Babylonian ways had come among. I'm fixing to preach, you sit there. Babylonian ways come in among them until they got their eyes on Babylonian ways. They got their eyes on Babylonian dress. What's it doing? Robbing the life. Robbing the life. Trying to keep it trampled down. Trying to keep it knocked down. Trying to keep it beat down and tied down. But no matter the condition, God will force it to cope with His word. For Jeremiah, drop down Jeremiah 27:22. It says, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day I visit them, saith the Lord, when I bring them up and restore them to this place. The bones are going to be there till the right season, till the right time. And I'm going to come among them and restore them back. Job said it like this. Joel 2:25 says, and I will restore. You know why? He's speaking. He's proclamating. He's declaring something. I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. My great army which I sent among you. Don't you see, friends? It starts eating away at the church. Just as Babylonian ways came amongst Israel, here comes Babylonian spirits to try to eat away. Think about it. To try to eat the life right out of the church. Until there ain't no worship no more. There ain't no praise no more. Ain't nobody excited no more. It's just a dead church. But God don't want a dead church. Babylon ate the tree all the way down to the dust. God would send a reformer. And for a little while the revival would strike, and then they would take what that man had said and they'd organize around it. Don't you see that's Babylonian ways? It would take them. Listen, friends, it ain't bring them closer to God. It takes them further from God. Don't you see the spirit around this age? Don't you see what Satan's doing? Trying to stop the resurrection. I'll restore. Brother Ram says, see in the second chapter, that's a very dark chapter. Joel speaking through inspiration, telling him about the lands as eat up and the worms. One worm went through and the insect and eat some of the things. And what the left, what he left, another worm come through and eat what he left. Another worm come through and eat what he left. Listen, and all the vines are withered up. The pastures are dried up. The cattle are dying. They both had to say that all the seeds under the clods are rotten and looks like a hopeless case. I wonder how many times the devil declared that over you. I wonder how many days he spoke those things. You're a hopeless case. You're going back to the clods. You'll never be nothing. You'll never be the bride. You'll never do the words. Hopeless. Oh my, it looked hopeless. Remember, Brother Bram, in the message, Shalom. When Brother Bram had, by inspiration, had drawn out on the blackboard, he had drawn the phases of the moon, which represented what life was left in the church. And he come from Ephesus and all the way down, Thyatira, Sardis, Pergamos, all the way down to Laodicea, until finally he come to the last age, and the light kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And Brother Ram said, remember the Holy Spirit, he said, on the back of the tabernacle, he said, the pillar of fire showed up and drove the same thing I'd put on the blackboard and put it on the back wall of the church. Until that last age was completely blacked out. Hopeless. Lifeless. Amen. Impossible. Denomination came in. Creeds came in. Organization came in. Amen, somebody. Everybody has their slant. Everybody's got their ideal. Everybody's got their theory. Come on. We don't want theories. We want facts tonight. And the only truth is left is God's word over you. But I say unto you, son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? That age is completely blacked out. Job's seen a blacked out time. Come on. Abraham's seen a blacked out time. He's seen darkness encroach upon them. All it took was for that word to start speaking things. And the word breathes over those bones and things that's been written concerning you and I. A word that cannot fail. Think about it. Whenever a little virgin that day stood there, and an angel shows up and tells her, Mary, you've been highly favored. And life come by the spoken word. Life came by the original seed. Remember, he raised up. He became rejected. He was beat, put on a cross. He died. Amen. The body got buried in the tomb. But little did the devil remember, if you bury a seed, I said, if you bury a seed, and there's quick, ooh, hallelujah, there's quickening power laying in that seed. If you bury that seed, guess what's happening? Breathe, oh breath of God. Breathe over these bones. Jesus tried to tell him, and the devil never caught it. Jesus tried to let him know whenever the Greeks had come to him. And they said, sir, we would see Jesus. So what they said, sir, we want to see Jesus. He said, oh, you Greeks want to see him, huh? Let me tell you the way Greeks are going to see him. Let me tell you the way Greeks are going to see him. Except a corn of wheat. John 17:24. Absolutely, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So they took one corn of wheat into the ground. But there's more than one coming up. Satan had worked to try to stop that seed into the ground. But when he buried Jesus, hundreds and thousands got up with him. One went down, many came up. Hallelujah! Why the power of the seed? I can imagine that day that the ground began to shake. The stone got rolled away. The ground began to tremble. Think about it. And Jesus got up. And when he got up, I got up with him. What you don't know is when Jesus resurrected, I was standing right there with him. I witnessed resurrection power. I witnessed resurrection life. And by the way, that stone wouldn't move to get Jesus out. That stone got moved to let them in. You know why? He makes the things cope with the word. He forces the condition. Hallelujah. Can you handle this one? Rising of the sun. Because I live, ye shall live also. Speaking, declaring, announcing to his wife. Because I live, you shall live also. Oh, what a resurrection that was. Come on, somebody. Was that not a resurrection? Was that not powerful? What a resurrection! The power, and what a resurrection that this is! Not was, is! To be quickened from the dead, to be made alive in Christ Jesus by God's quickening power. As Christ was the first one to raise from the prophets and so forth, although taught in many places, he was the first fruits of those that slept. In the bride coming, you wait till I get to the bride. In the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church, coming out of Babylon, coming out of organization, coming out of denomination. There'll have to be a sheaf waved again in the last days. The waving of the sheaf, what was the sheaf? The first one to come to maturity. The first one that proved it was wheat. It proved it was a sheaf. Hallelujah. I'm sure you see what I'm talking about. it waved over the people for the first time, they'll come forth a bride age. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm talking about bride time. That's what the, he said, it's bride. It ain't shut time. It's bride time. It's seed time. For a resurrection out of dark denominationalism, there's going to be a message that the full maturity of the word has turned back again in the same power. Think about it. In its full power being waved. Think about it. And waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that it did back there. We've come back to see it again. In so much, there's so much quickening power that has moved back up on the church. You get a man that steps out there into the woods of Kentucky. He's out there squirrel hunting. Amen. This ain't something Brother Bram caused or pushed to happen. Brother Bram said it was sovereignly given by God. Get a hold of that, somebody. I'm trying to say you can run out here. I'm telling you, sovereignly given. When the need arose, God permitted it. He made the body cope with it. It forced the issue. He said, what are you doing hunting squirrels? Then just speak it. Just speak it. Brother Ram said, let there be. And from nothing, materialized, bone to its bone. The sinew come upon it. The flesh come upon it. The tail come upon it. The fur come upon it. And there out of nothing materialized by creative power what he had need of. I said, what he had need of. Think about it. A man standing there forcing the issue. But Ram said, I was sitting there thinking about Mark 11:23. That thou shalt say unto this mountain, be thou removed and don't doubt it. Think about it. He's thinking about speaking to the mountain. And now he's thinking about the word. And now God wants you to go further than just thinking about it and meditating about it. He wants you to move from meditation to action. He wants to quicken it to life. Brother Ram said, I went back and I tried to find a parallel through the scripture to what had happened. He said, I went back from all the reformers back to Paul, back to Jesus. And Brother Ram said, Jesus had taken what was already there and made more. He took the water and made wine. He took the bread and he multiplied. Took the fish and multiplied. Went all the way back to Joshua, where Joshua spoke to the sun and the sun didn't stand still, but the sun was already there. He went back to Moses and Moses spoke to the frogs and Moses spoke lies, which was already there. He just multiplied what was already there. But when he went back to Genesis, when he went back to the original, when he went back to the seed, come on somebody, when he went back to the seed, he found a type to what happened in the end and had already happened in the beginning when God said, let there be. He found a parallel in the end to what had happened in the beginning, proving that Jesus Christ is Alpha and he's Omega. He's the first and he's the last, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me quit. Remember, I went back to the woods, message of grace. I thought, right here's where God gave me them squirrels last year to speak into existence. I took off my hat again and said, Lord God, you're still the same Jesus. You're still God. And something said to me, how many you need this time? I said, just like I did the other time, the limit. And I said, and I said, I shall have it. This limit before 10 o'clock today. As strange as it seems, always is, isn't it? I was in a very bad mosquito area where it was infested with mosquitoes, a kind of a swampland. A great big mosquito came to bite me right on the eye. And I said, glory, not one of them will bother me this day. No repellent or anything with me. And before I knew it, I said, and the sun will shine in 30 minutes. Hallelujah. I no more than said that. And it was behind me, a squirrel exactly like the one last year. Young Red jumped down that limb 70 yards away. I turned around those long distance. I could barely through the powerful scope even see his eye. And I shot. And that's all. I didn't even have an aim at it. He can make the bullet cope with the word. I said it may have been off a little bit. It may have been a little too high. You might have got a little bit too far low. But the word can make the bullet cope with the word that was spoken. Brother, that come right off the grill right there. That bullet was just exactly smack in the eye where it was the other time. And on down through the woods, I went exactly 3 minutes of 10 o'clock. I shot my third squirrel just like it was last year. Just exactly the same, 3 minutes before 10. And God being my solemn judge, not one mosquito buzzed all day long. Now I have to admit, a mosquito has got a little bitty old brain. I said, it's got a little bitty tiny brain. But it had enough sense when the word was spoken. Stay back, boys! Stay back! Stay back away from that man! Let's stand to our feet. Oh, God, my son, not one mosquito buzzed all day long. Right where there's just tons of them, I suppose, if they'd be weighed out, I've never even seen or even heard one. I can imagine the mosquitoes went back to those leaves and don't move. He made them mosquitoes. He made what was around him cope with what was said out of him. There's power in your words. There's power that lays on the tongue. Back from extinction. Let's bow our hearts if you would. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Oh Lord Jesus. Lord, if we could only catch the vision today that your word has materialized right in our midst even this morning. I'm not preaching about the days gone by. I'm talking about a God that quickeneth even yet this morning. Lord, we don't know how many more of those seeds is laying there, Lord, that must come to maturity. But we do have a promise. When that last one comes in, the rapture will go. Lord, I pray that you would search this congregation today, Lord. Lord, that you would look upon these bones that are standing in this building. Lord, these bones can live. You can cause breath to come upon bones. Maybe there's someone today. Lord, maybe they're laying in the dust. May you cause them to arise, I pray. Bring every bone to its position, Lord. For your prophet tells us the bride will be flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. Help us, I pray, Lord. May we come in contact with your word. May it have, Lord, may it have such an impact upon us, Lord, that we'll leave our old church age thinking, our, Lord, old denominational thinking, Lord, and we'll recognize as you're maturing us, Lord, we're coming to maturity. You're ripening this grain to the place, Lord, of the word coming back to life. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this life that we possess. Thank you, Lord. Oh God, if we can only see, quickening power is not something that's coming. Quickening power is here. As a matter of fact, that's what the Holy Ghost is. It's quickening power within us. I heard, Lord, your prophet say it this morning in thy house, that the same spirit that you have upon you right now, think about it. Lord, the same spirit, that quickening spirit that is in me, will cause me to call the body right back from the grave. For it's the same spirit that was in Jesus when Jesus said, I'll lay my life down and I'll bring it back again. Brother Ram said, if that same spirit is in us, it'll do the exact same thing. It can lay down, but it can also call it right back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We recognize we're children of light, back to the original, back to the tree, back to life, back from extinction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Brother Abraham says, now remembering Christ, we are flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone. And when God wounded Christ at Calvary, He was wounded for me and you. And we're flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, body of His body, name of His name. We're the bride of Him. We are in Him. We are His flesh and His bones. I love Him, don't you? Praise God. Sing something, Brother Harry, if you would. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Can we just worship Him just a moment?
Give myself away.
What do I need to do?
Give myself away.
Just surrender to that life. That one that calls you out of the world. Just surrender to that life.
Give myself away.
Sang this song not too long ago. A lot of these thoughts today come from this song. Praise
God. Through the eyes of men, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, and one by one the enemy has whispered. life as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. Yeah. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Of endless mercy, God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward son, and by your Spirit breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save. Breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe. So breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe. As we call out to travel, come alive. Come alive.
Glory to God. Aren't you grateful that God has spoke over you? I was thinking of the little brother in Mexico that we was down there preaching. He wanted to talk to me, and he had told me that he'd been planting trees in Colorado, had come out of Mexico into the U.S. working, planting trees, and they had went in and sprayed some weed killer and to kill the undergrowth so they could plant these trees, and he ran out of water, and he drank the water out of the creek, and he poisoned himself, and he was sitting on a stump. He sat down and said he felt his life leaving his body, and said his buddy was there, was with him, said, "I'll stay with you, tell your family what happened to you." And said, "I was just sitting there, I could feel my life leaving my body." He said, "Something within me spoke and said, I need a lemon." I said, "When that spoke, I said what that said. I said, I need a lemon." And he said, "I looked, laying beside the stump was a lemon." And he said, "I picked it up and I ate the whole lemon. I ate the seeds, the rind, I ate it all." And he said, about an hour later, I felt my strength coming back and said, I got up to go back to work. And my buddy said, "Where did that lemon come from?" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not something that's going to be friends. It's here right now. This is who we are. This is who we are. The Bible said they raised up an exceedingly great army. Do you know why they came up an exceedingly great army? Because that's what they were when they went down. Do you know why I'll resurrect as a son of God? Because that's what I always was a son of God. Hallelujah. What a privilege it is this morning. And the most wonderful thing about it is there is nothing this age can do to stop us. They can't pass enough laws. Come on, somebody. There's nothing they can do to stop us. No matter how dark it gets, we shall live. Amen. Praise be to God. Well, it's been a great weekend. It's been a very emotional weekend for me. And I just want to, before we close in prayer, and I just want to take this time to thank everyone who came to be a part of Mark and Allie's wedding. And I want to thank all the folks here who helped us, because there's no way we could have ever done what was done this week without the help of the folks here in this church. And I don't want to call names. I'll leave somebody out, and I don't want to do that. But you know who you are, and you know what you've done. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all that you've done for us. And I also want to thank Sister Pascal. She's sitting back there with my wife, flew all the way from France just to be in the wedding this weekend. And we just thank her for her sacrifice to come and be a part of this happy occasion for us. May the Lord richly bless you. You know, another time in my life when Jessica was hurt so bad and Homer and Rachel were killed, and one of the most lowest moments in my life, and the same folks helped me through that time. And I remember when I went back after I gave my heart to the Lord, and I went back to some of my friends and tried to tell them. They said, "Where you been, Ward? We ain't seen you around." And I said, "I'm following Jesus. I gave my heart to the Lord. I'm following Jesus." And they laughed at me. They laughed at me so much to my ears burning. And I went out. I'm a sensitive person. And I left, and they were stuck. They were catcalling me when I went down the sidewalk, and I went and sat in the car, and I was crying. I said, "Lord, I've lost every friend I have." And something spoke to my heart and said, "I'll be your friend." And He's gave me friends all over the world. There is no friend like the lovely Jesus. So may God richly bless you. Thank you once again for all that you've done for us this week, and the cleanup yesterday, and worked out there all day, and people sacrificed their weekend to help us, and may God richly bless you for that. Sure good to see Brother David, wasn't it? Amen. I sure miss him on the field. Amen. We had a lot of good memories together, and preached a lot of meetings together. You know how David preaches and swings that arm? We was in a meeting in Miami one time, and I was sitting behind him, and he swung that arm around. I don't know why, but I just moved my head, and he just, it was like a baby's kiss on my cheek. If I hadn't moved, he'd have knocked me slap out. It's just good times with Brother David. I sure miss him out on the field, but. Has it not been a good weekend? May God richly bless you. Remember the service Wednesday night. Go in the fear of the Lord. And what a wonderful time it is to be a Christian. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir, brother. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that there is no God like you. That your word, Lord, never returns unto you void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it to do. No matter how dead we would be or the situations in our life, when you speak, Lord. I'll never forget, Lord, that evening when my baby was dying, and you spoke to me there in that waiting room and said, "Your daughter shall live."
And it happened just like you said, Lord. We're so grateful, Father. We're so grateful that you sent the word to us, Lord. To open the book to reveal to us our true identity. Lord, I just don't know what to say. I don't know how to express it to you, Lord. The love that we have in our hearts and the gratitude of such a merciful God. That, Lord, it doesn't. We may be blind in our eyes, but you can open them. We may be crippled in our arm, but you can straighten it. We may be dead in the grave, but you can raise us, Lord. So we can just trust in you that no matter what situation we're in, we know you've got it in control, Lord. And that situation will never change our outcome. For you said, I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Oh God, we're so grateful for that. Go with your people today, Lord. May you bless them this day. Protect us on the highway, Lord. Bring us back Wednesday night, Lord. Our hearts hungering for the word, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Bless Brother David. Renew his strength, God. Give him traveling grace as he goes home, Lord. Bless his church. Bless his ministry, God. Use him in a greater way, we pray. We just love you, Lord, and thank you for all that you've done for us and given us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing I Give Myself Away again, Brother Harry, as we go. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord.
Myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Yeah.